For those of you who'd like access to this content, follow the link in the description box, visit our Patreon page, and subscribe to the Black Kluge tier. For a mere $5 a month, you get access to the alternate Sunday episodes you've been missing, only available on Patreon, as well as the weekly Tuesday episodes. But wait, there's more. If you subscribe to the Black Kluge tier, you'll also get 2 weeks advance notice to our Thursday sessions. And if you needed any more incentive, when we have bonus episodes, Patreon is the place where you're going to find them. Also, don't forget to check out TeePublic for our great swag. The link is also in the aforementioned description.
How many friends do you really have? People you confide
in. Two.
Confide in.
Oh, one.
Confide in.
One.
Who is that?
Beth.
That is not your friend.
Who is
I'm
it?
Why about couldn't a friend.
But why could
she be my friend?
She could be your friend, but she's your wife. I'm talking about friends.
Well, she just became my wife.
Oh, stop it. She
all right,
your
I have one other. My psychiatrist.
That's not a friend.
I don't confide in any friends. I wouldn't trust them. I wouldn't trust any of my friends. You should see who my friends are.
Well, that's what you call a friend. Somebody you can trust.
Nah. I would say Don Buchwald, my agent. I would say I'm so close to him. He knows everything that if I know I can go to him and tell him anything and he won't judge me.
I don't know if it's a friend.
And I've told him some shit.
But that's another person you pay.
Yeah. I don't have any friends I don't pay.
You do a show here. If it's successful or not, it doesn't matter.
And the one thing I don't respond well to is humiliation. I don't respond well to it at all. You know, I don't want to be told what a shithead I am. I don't want to, you know, those days are over. I've suffered enough in this business. I don't need to find out what a shithead I am.
Listen, there are people who are at a job too long. They're not into it. They can't admit it to themselves.
But nobody cares around here. Nobody sits here and gets worried about ratings. It's a joke.
Well, you don't need ratings here.
Listen, people,
I'm not going to be cured of anything. I am me. I am just going to a psychiatrist so that I can feel better about certain issues in my life. That's all. Yeah, somehow I believe Leno will just end up at 11:30. But anyway, they're announcing today that, first of all, Jay Leno is such a douchebag. He's the number one late night guy. He gets like $20 million a year. He could be getting $50, $60 million a year, but he doesn't want it. Like, that just skeeves me out and makes me think he's a bigger asshole than I've ever, you know, it's just like, oh, what is that? Like, what, why is it you won't take more
take
money?
The money, yeah.
Like, what are you trying to prove? You're every man. You're making $25 million. I mean,
that's
no one's relating
to you.
Every
man.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, eh, I got enough money. Eh, you know, I live on my stand-up.
Welcome, ladies and gents, to QF, a podcast about Howard Stern. I'm your host, Phil Moore, a.k.a. Jim Fix. And with me for the first time ever is one of our favorite QF fans, but also a major contributor in terms of behind the scenes, Miss C.A. Thompson. Welcome, my dear. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much. And hello to everyone out there. It's a pleasure to get to speak to you. I get to speak to some of you behind the scenes, but it's nice being able to participate this way.
Well, when I asked her I asked her to participate like guys, and it was a situation where it wasn't a case of we didn't have enough, you know, not volunteers, but co-hosts and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I wanted better, different voices, and was always trying to see who would be good. And I loved her. We usually exchange voicemail because it's just ergonomic and it's really easy. Yeah. And on Messenger. And I thought she'd be great for some of these more. I thought originally when I was going to do an episode, and I will eventually, on his relationship with his kids. And I thought this would be a perfect jumping point because it's a clip from May 12th of 2003, Bowie getting shit on by Stuttering John, who's divorced and broke and a complete mess. Yeah. And shares almost no custody with his kids. Mm-hmm. And Howard. We know all about him. So,
well, he's father of the year, right?
Right, exactly. So, and I've cut up some bits of this and used it in themes. I've used it in other early episodes of QF, but not the whole thing. So, we're going to go right through it.
And Gary went to see the Eddie Murphy Daddy movie,
Daddy Daycare.
And he was, you know, again, at the movies, the X-Men became the, again, the biggest movie
number
of the
one.
Week.
Yeah.
Made like 45 additional million dollars.
Wow.
This week. And Eddie Murphy's movie opened to like about $27 million, which isn't so bad.
Yeah, that's crazy good.
Shows you Eddie Murphy can still bring people in, because that movie without Eddie Murphy would not have done well, I'm sure. But you said it wasn't that bad.
It's okay.
But the reviews were brutal.
My kids loved it.
And that's eventually Eddie Murphy did resuscitate his career by being kid friendly.
Yeah. And just, you know, some of the things I find funny just in the start of this is Robin's supposedly the news person. But yet Howard's bringing the facts about this stuff. And she's shocked. It's the first time she's heard this. And, you know, it just always, there were so many holes that were poked into what we thought she was at times. Mm-hmm. And then when you listen back to this stuff, you're like, oh. It was so obvious.
Yeah, and like, what was the one? I guess the Nutty Professor, the remake that he did in the fat suit, which was just pandering, like the worst type of. I mean, apparently it was entertaining to some people. I don't know. It's the same guy who did. He directed Ace Ventura, the first one, which I did think was funny when I first saw it. But then, you know, I don't know. How old was I? Let's see. Go back. I don't know. late teens, I guess. It was entertaining, but you know, you're not as sophisticated at 18 as you are.
Well, and some of those on first watch, they're great, and then you go back and you just think, what was I thinking?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was like I could sit through it. It wasn't the greatest movie, but it wasn't horrible. I saw Entertainment Weekly. I think gave it like a D-. And Us Weekly gave it like a C-.
Yeah, it was getting like one star in the newspaper.
It's like, okay.
Gary was like, it was a good family movie.
Yeah, I talked to some friends who saw it this week, and they said it was cute. You know, that kind of cute.
I think Eddie Murphy gets a bad rap because he was such a great edgy comic, and that, it's such a sellout to see him doing these kiddie Bill Cosby
family
movies.
Films, yeah.
With all he does now.
Depressing.
What I think Howard doesn't seem to get is also, and I, it took me a long time to figure this out as well. Some of these guys actually do want to have product that their kids can watch. Like Eddie Murphy, his kids at some point in their early years were not going to watch Delirious.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And with, you know, he's mocking him, you know, he's this edgy comic as though that's the only thing he can possibly be. And Eddie, he's worked hard to be something other than, but with Howard, he can't think of being anything other than this, you know, so-called rock star DJ guy, because his mind would snap. He can't even pull this off, let alone trying to be anything other than that.
Well, he's always got this vision of people, individuals, whether it's guests, whether it's people he'd like on the show, whether it's his own staff, that they're this one thing, because his mind can't conceive of someone wanting to do something else. Now, the truth is, there was a time there where Eddie could do no right, and he got he gave David Spade some shit for making him a joke in a sketch, and David infamously put it in a book and talked about it, and Rock, you know, Chris Rock said, no, Eddie's still mad at you. And Eddie was righteously pissed off, because he saved that show from cancellation after SNL, after Lorne Michaels left.
Yeah.
And I was Gene Dominion produced it, and then Dick Ebersol produced it after a while, and before it went back to Lorne. People seem to think Lorne had this huge, massive run, and you know, it's been good ups and downs. No, there were like a good 5-year period there, maybe longer, where he was gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you don't see them. Well, I guess people don't buy DVDs like they used to, but you know, you don't see them selling collections of the last few years of SNL. It's coming from the good old days of these core individuals like Eddie and you know, other individuals that Howard has had on. And to take it to the narcissist just for a moment too, in that they like to mirror people. So if people have multiple things that they're good at, it's difficult for them to mirror it. You know, for them, you stick to one thing and that's it.
Yeah. I forgot to mention, and I normally do this when people start off with the show. What was your history with the Stern Show, not the least of which is, you know, you may still have your Sirius going and still hear the modern show. But when did you start getting interested in Stern, and when did you just turn him off, more so to speak?
Well, you know, as a Canadian, Stern was difficult to get early on. So initially it was just hearing about this edgy guy who, you know, is just this horrible human being. And so never had a huge interest in listening to him in the 80s, early 90s. And then it was just through a friend who said, listen, you know, they had some, it would have been on YouTube or something like that, where they sent me a few links and stuff. And I thought, this guy's actually reasonably funny and it's entertaining and it's got a good pace to it. And I liked the collaborative aspect of what they were doing. I really appreciated the dynamics of different voices coming in. And at that time, I wasn't picking up on things that, you know, are obvious now. And yeah, so when I was able to get the Sirius, the stupid box, and wire up my Jeep and throw the slap the old antenna on it. Yeah, and I also had the Ghetto Blaster as well, too.
Oh, my
so,
Lord.
Yeah, proud owner. And I probably still have a kick. If anyone wants it, just let me know. I probably still have it kicking around here somewhere. Yeah, so that would have been when I was full-time able to listen. And I'm guessing for a decent amount of people who listen to what you guys do and, you know, are on the other side of not liking his newer stuff so much now. For me, he was part of my life. You know, Saturday and Sunday were kind of boring. And I'd always tell myself, well, Monday morning, right? Monday morning, you get up and there's a new Howard show. And then, you know, you can kind of pick things up and keep your week going. And so it was such a letdown when I started to see behind his mask and, you know, didn't like the feeling I was get when I was listening to it, because it was such a big part of my weekly schedule and rituals. And that's why I was so happy to find, you know, this crew, this family.
Well, we're glad we found you just the same. But it's interesting you brought that up, because about your weekend leading into the Monday, as mm-hmm. opposed to most people going, well, working, you know, like Loverboy, working until the weekend and then maybe getting a movie, maybe going out Friday and Saturday night being the, you know, the relief from their burden. But so when would you say was the time when you started to make the switch? Or the flip, as it were.
the flip to maybe he's not so great. You know, it was the last thing where I was kind of hanging on would have been the Seinfeld episode in 2016, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And it was a decent interview. And then afterwards, I just was listening and it wasn't giving me that same kick anymore. It wasn't really holding me. And with a friend of mine, you know, we would always listen to the shows together, talk about it after. And both of us just found ourselves just drifting away.
That's bad.
Yeah.
You know? You're saying the interviews, it became wallpaper. They weren't special anymore.
They weren't special. The energy between people on the show, because, you know, Howard at this point is trying to shift to being this, you know, world's greatest interviewer with his five questions that he asks everybody. And it showed itself for what it was, that he's not good on the fly. He's not good with, you know, shifting and going in a different direction. Or if someone challenges him on something, then he becomes pouty and angry. And it's not cute when he's the only one in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have someone to bounce it off of, like Jackie or Artie or whoever it is, they would pick it up. And they're kind of like the housekeeper, you know, just tidy the mess up a bit and make sure the baby's diaper's changed. And that's that's gone now. And so it's just the baby sitting there in their crap-filled diaper. It just wasn't.
So when you hear old clips like this, does it make you feel like, how could it get from this to that?
When I go back, and I still do, I was, full confession, I was a gamer for quite a bit. And so playing War Thunder or Daisy or whatever it was, we would always have something on in the background, and it would be old clips from Howard. And so I still go back and listen to those and just laugh my head off at them. But there's still some times, too, where I'm laughing and then my brain kind of snaps and it goes, oh, because I'm recognizing something in there. I was like, oh, well, why didn't I hear that the way it really was then?
Yeah. So, well, and I should also tell people we were planning to do, because we heard that the Cult were going to be on Sirius XM, like Howard was going to. We thought they were promoting it as an interview with the Cult, who he's never had on, never in since they've been a band. And even when they were the Southern Death Cult, which they never would have been on his show anyway, they were never on, and they were almost never mentioned. Yeah. Except in passing more recently, and you know, when he discovered the song itself. Yeah. I think he just said that song Sanctuary.
Yeah, that Ralph turned him on to this great. And actually, when they did the pre-package, you know, here's the Cult on Sirius. At the end of it, Billy Duffy actually makes fun of, so the guitar player from the Cult makes fun of Howard. He actually makes a point of saying, you know, it's kind of funny that Howard discovered us multiple years after we were already famous.
No kidding.
You know, and he's talking about, you know, their big hits at this time. He's like, oh, he discovers us, you know, years after.
Right. And so we were like, I was praying there was actually going to be an interview, because those guys don't suffer fools in interviews.
No.
They come off very soft-spoken, very, very British, actually, which is ironic since they spent so much time abroad.
Yeah.
And, and certainly Ian, you know, spent a lot of his years immersing himself in native culture in North America. And so, indigenous, not native, my bad, guys. But when it never happened, we both silently went, thank God, but also like, damn, this would have been a good opportunity to show what an idiot he is. And I don't know how polite they would have been with his questions.
I don't think Billy is arguably a better smoother of things, just because he's had to deal with Ian over the years. But Ian would not have taken kindly just to the utter stupidity. And the one I was looking forward to would have been, you know, Ian, are you secretly in love with Billy? Billy, have you ever seen Ian's cock?
You know, wouldn't get the second question anymore, but you definitely would get the, do you guys, does this feel like a marriage to you?
Yeah. Do you go to the washroom together? Do you guys ever, you know?
Yeah. Sadly, we didn't get that.
Yeah.
I know. It's just depressing that this great talent is thrown, it's a waste.
The other thing is, you know how much it costs now? You know how much yesterday at the movies cost me? It's like $55.
Wow.
You know, it was like,
how many people? Four?
Four of us. It was like $7 a ticket or something. That was because it was earlier in the day. And then it was like $19 on, it's $3 a soda and like $6 for popcorn. And then it was like another $4 to
You should bring your own stuff. Bring a couple of sodas with you and
I always forget.
How are you going to get it in there?
You can.
Sure you can.
I love these guys, like on a national radio show, crying poor mouth about the concession stand prices, which admittedly in Canada are certainly expensive. I took my nieces and my sister and her husband to a movie in, I'm going to say just outside of Toronto. And it cost us $100 just for them, not counting us. Like, we said, get whatever you want, you know, and of course the kids bought, their eyes were bigger than their actual stomachs and the tickets. And it looked like something out of the fucking Syrian airport. Like, that's how shitty this theater was.
Yeah. And at this time, so Gary's not making millions.
No.
So, and he's a good father in that, you know, he's taking the kids out and he's making it an event and get what you want. And so, he has the right to claim poverty, but Howard saying, bring your own popcorn. Like, Howard doesn't even know how to make popcorn, let alone put it in a bread bag and carry it into the theater.
Why didn't you bring your own almonds, Gary? Fuck.
Yeah, they let you bring it.
It's $10 in the city for a ticket now.
I know.
That's unbelievable.
They don't let you bring it in.
Yeah, you could sneak it in. Nobody says anything.
I mean, you make $200,000 a year. You're rich.
Ooh, Jesus.
Oh, there we go. There's a tell.
Wow.
What year was that?
2003.
We'll have to check the math that everyone did to see what they thought he was making then.
I believe that is in line with what they said. However, God, it must have been some serious bump. Like, not, I don't mean Sirius XM. It must have been a bump between before the millennium, because they did admit, they mentioned the, like, when John, I think it might even be this year or the year before, John said up until a couple of years ago, John was only making like 10,000 less than Gary.
So that's incredible. And here's an interesting thing, too, in that Howard has always claimed he doesn't know the wages of these individuals. But he spit out a pretty clear number right
then.
Yeah,
that didn't, that came right out there. Like, why? And the other thing, should he know their salaries? No, I don't believe so. As any key, I mean, they're all salaried employees, or he's a contracted worker, as he's always been. Mm-hmm. And he negotiates his own deals, unless they talk about it and Gary tells him. I mean, that's one thing, but I don't believe so. And I think even at that time, he made it a point through Buchwald to know what everybody was making.
He must be. And that makes sense, because he's such a nickel and dime sort of guy. He always wants to, how much did you get for that? You know, what did you make off that movie? So open there's time. No way he didn't want to know. But yeah. What a good reveal there.
No question.
we don't know that for sure. Yeah.
I don't know what you make.
I got a medium-sized Domino's sausage pizza in a movie theater once.
I mean, why not just, seriously, I know it bothers you, bring some sodas.
Just forget.
Bring some popcorn. Mary, I mean, you can pop some popcorn. Put on your apron and pop some Jiffy Pop.
Yeah, Mary's not going to do it.
I forgot. You'll have to do it.
What'd you do for Mary for Mother's Day?
Every small drink is $3.
What'd you do for Mary for Mother's Day? Did you take care of the kids for the whole day?
No.
Every day's Mother's Day.
I got her a gift.
Usually you're the mother in that family.
Got our gift. The kids, me and the kids went shopping for a gift on Friday. We bought her a wallet.
Wow, you're awesome.
Bought her a painting.
A wallet to put your money in?
Oh man,
such an ass. She got up. We made a breakfast in bed, and she took the kids to church.
You do way too much.
And we went out to dinner last night.
Breakfast in bed.
You took the kids to church?
No, she took the kids to church. Don't go to church.
Because God's not on your side, dude.
Yeah, he doesn't believe it.
You know, it sounds like when you take your kids to see a movie like Daddy Daycare, do they look at that movie and go, "What's odd about this?"
God bless Artie. Yeah. Well, so the whole, yeah, like I said earlier, guys, this clip is all about showing what asshole fathers Stuttering John and and Howard are, and ended up we knew anyway, but Stuttering John, recently it came out, the unfortunately the alimony, there's some alimony issue, and it was public note, it was public record, and the papers came out, and the numbers are embarrassing. I mean, let me see if I can find one of them, and I'll read it for you, because I don't know how it's going to come up on the screen sharing. Let's see what I got here. Okay. All right.
But I like how Stuttering John is just right away to the mocking and belittling.
Right. This is okay. This is an email from Stuttering John to Susanna in 2015, and it's almost to the day. It's like 3/24. Hey, Susanna, I hope you're doing well. As you know, I will always love you and provide for you and the kids. I've been diligently trying to get a job. Hold on. And I am confident that something will happen soon. But in the meantime, I have to file the reduction that we agreed on with Yardena. I don't know. That must be a lawyer. On April 30th with the court. Yardena alleges that she told me I had to do this in September, but I held off filing because, A, I know you're going to be fair and not expect me to pay the support based on the salary I used to make on the Tonight Show. And B, I thought that I would have a job by now and I could be paying you enough money on a daily basis. But unfortunately, I still don't have a job and I legally had to do this. Otherwise, I can get into trouble. This is a normal thing that's done when a salary changes, but know that I will provide for you no matter what, even if I have to get a manual labor job. I hope you understand. As you know, I will be giving you money in April. This is a formality, and I'd rather work something out with you, a fair agreement, than get the lawyers involved. I thought that it would be nice to have the kids more time now that I'm not working, because I plan to move to New York in May, and that's going to be very hard for me to be away from the kids. So they all lived on the West Coast after you moved to the Tonight Show. Yeah. There was a divorce earlier in the decade, I think 2 years, maybe in 2012, before 2 years before the Tonight Show with Jay folded.
Mm-hmm.
And he was making probably $150 a year as a writer, quote unquote.
Yeah.
down from his big, big salary, but he was still living like, you know, stuttering Gatsby. it was a very sad day yesterday moving the stuff down the driveway. You had left my wedding band in the drawer, Sorry, you left my wedding band in the drawer in the white night tables. It fell out and my friend picked it up. I nearly cried. I talked to the school counselor yesterday. She said she was busy and would call me, but never did.
Oh, no. This poor school counselor's probably I'm not your counselor. I'm here for the kids. Yeah.
No kidding. I'm a mess. I just borrowed another $2,500 from my mom so I can buy the kids' food tomorrow and keep the lights on. Having our kids live with Aaron has not been an easy thing. Aaron is the guy that she took up with.
Oh.
Hold on. Then the next part here.
But that's like bonus dad. Like, you know, if he's got a job, like, good thing.
Well, there. I don't think Susanna remarried because she wanted those alimony payments still coming in. Not alimony, child support.
True. Yeah.
So for me, I understand. I am glad you have someone, but I hope he can treat you better than I did. I'm crying. I'm so sorry I failed you. My dad is not doing well. He has been crapping in his diapers and is getting chest pains. My mom doesn't know how she is going to handle him alone.
Why would you put that?
He will probably have to get a pacemaker. My friend at The Tonight Show is getting a job writing for Stern. I'm happy for him, but I'm sad I haven't gotten a job. I'm at the end of my rope, Susanna, and I don't know how I'm going to make it to April. I had to borrow $5,000 from Josh, Kevin, Justin, Craig, and Shane just to fix up the house. Lawn paint. Paints, plants, and whatnot. I will take care of you guys. I hope you know that. I thank you for your patience. Love always,
thank
Johnny.
Thank you for your patience.
Yeah. Fuck.
So he said a friend of his from The Tonight Show got a job with Howard.
Yeah, writing job.
Interesting how, you know, the street is open that way.
Figure, right? Exactly. Well, Howard's like Lorne Michaels, a bit of a douche after the fact. Like, I already told that great story. I don't know if you ever heard it, but he talked about meeting Lorne when he was doing the movie with Spade.
I don't recall. No.
And he just said that Lorne was an asshole. He said, you know, he goes, you're probably wondering why I'm here. You know, like, you know, well, he goes, would you, you know, it's your dream to work here, isn't it? Like at SNL. It's a great story. I'll send you the audio. And anyway, Lorne goes, well, that's not possible, you know, because you worked at Mad TV. You were somebody, it never works when someone else discovers you because he worked at Mad TV. You can't work at SNL. Yeah. But then later on, people from Mad TV did go to SNL to work.
Yeah. And a lot of people from other, you know, living, yep. I'm sure there's Living Color people that popped over and.
Sure. Yeah. I think Damon Wayans was one. He then got booted actually because of a choice he made, an ad lib, which was funny, but at any rate, so Stuttering John now at that point, like he's lost custody of his kids. If you look at the custody listing between him and Susanna, John sees them like 10% of the time. It's 20%, but it looks like 10 based on the holidays. And he, in that letter, it's in that email, it's all wah, poor me.
It is, but there's threatening little bits in there, right? So then the mask comes off a bit and, you know, I hope you do this and, you know, and also feel sorry for me. Thank you for your patience, but, you know, feel sorry for me. And I'm going to mock my dad by saying he's crapping in his diapers. Like,
and
I'm
I had to
sorry.
Borrow money from my mom.
Yeah. So the mom's giving him money. His dad's in the corner crapping himself. You know, why bring, and I'll get a manual job. Like, is picking up his pride considered a manual job or not? Yeah. Because that's about all he's doing here.
I thought that would be it. Like, Jay and I are going to, we're going to do an episode kind of using that, some more of that, the details and then comparing it to a similar clip. But I wanted people to understand, like, this is not a guy after the fact that was a present father either. He was just like Howard in so many ways, including the narcissism and the delusion.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about what these kids would have seen early on when they were together, just how he treated his wife, how he was non-present in anything that they were doing. Kids see this stuff. They know it.
Oh, yeah.
So
and And in the court document, it says they admit, I think it's either Susanna or him in their statement, their sworn statement, that the youngest, I believe, has had problems at school and is acting up.
Poor kid, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, the oldest changed genders outright.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is the guy who looks at someone who's a good father, but yet feels empowered to mock him and laugh at him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can make fun of Gary all we want for other things, but it seems like he's been a reasonable and good dad to his kids at the very least.
As far as we know, yeah.
Dad, our dad takes care of us every day. Mom just relaxes.
How is this a movie?
Why would they make a movie about daddy daycare? Our dad bathes us, puts us to sleep every night.
Dad wouldn't know what to do.
You know the funny thing about all this? I would care about none of this rap if Mary saw me the same way you guys see me.
Well, breakfast and
if she saw me that way, if she saw me as like the greatest dad in the world, I'd be like, you know what? It's all worth it.
All right. Yeah, she doesn't.
No,
but that's actually
you're still not any good, huh?
You want to do
that? That's interesting. That little—I don't know if it's a slip or if he's wanting to have them feel sorry for him. But that's a bit of a tell. You know, if only Mary saw me as the greatest dad.
Well, how did you take that marriage? I mean, Mary was, she's not, you know, she wasn't Christy Brinkley, but she was better looking than Bowie.
She's good looking,
that wouldn't be difficult. but do you think she married down, but she wanted to marry up thinking this is a connection to the Howard Stern show. And at some point she might've thought he's a fun guy or whatever, but I think she was a social climber like the rest of them.
She had to have been. Because if, you know, we just look back at pictures and, you know, any videotapes and audio tapes that came out of Gary.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Yeah. She was digging for something there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the audio and the video of him over the years and him being a complete numbskull. I mean, if you weren't social climbing to get with him, what would be the payoff? His great looks, his personality?
Yeah. And even so, he said, you know, she takes the kids to church and, you know, he doesn't go. So it isn't even a connection of, oh, they met at church or something. And so they've got this connection through belief and other things. Nope. That's not even there.
Nope.
It's just, oh, my goodness.
Right.
I'm OK. I'm OK, but I shouldn't be running around looking for any medals.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. The hours you put in here and then go home and take care of your kids.
I'll tell you.
And you're telling me, wait a second, on Mother's Day. Before Mother's Day, you took the kids shopping for a gift for her?
Yeah.
I would never do that. I would never, ever do that.
Why?
Did you hear?
We know.
He's got 36 helpers.
Well, he this is my thing. He's always used his father as an example, as a reason to not spend any time with his own kids, not understanding that really was Ben's job to be working at this station and later on managing his station.
Yeah.
And then probably he was probably the guy that turned the lights off first and turns at the end and turned them on and cleaned up and swept and made sure things were tip top, I believe.
Yeah.
And he's using that as an excuse to avoid his kids anytime he can and under the guise of, well, I'm working, but he's not even working. He's working during the morning, could easily take a 2-hour nap or whatever, or an hour nap, and then start, you know, when the kids get back from school, spend time with them. He didn't do that.
Oh, he easily could. And when you think about his dad had a commute, you know, there's, and again, different times where his mom's at home, so she's doing a lot of that stuff. Dad's got a commute. Mm-hmm. Like you said, he would have been first in, last out.
Yep. And then Ben made it a point, knowing that he didn't see the kids that often during the week, over the weekends, they'd always do stuff with them constantly.
I was just going to say, like in his memories, he talks about his dad setting aside time specifically to do things with Howard on their own, and then the sister on her own, and then together they would do things. So there was a lot of time invested in that.
Oh yeah. And then but he doesn't want anybody to hear that anymore. That gets lost in the shuffle.
Here they made breakfast in bed.
That's
Mom
enough.
Bowie got up.
That's enough.
With the kids and made breakfast.
Good.
I'm sure
that's
it didn't
enough.
End there, though. I'm sure there's more.
I know Gary's leaving out times. I'm sure.
Guys.
Look, he's even laughing.
Sorry. This is the beginning of the day.
Then what happened?
No, it did end there. It's just it started on Friday because she went out to
hang out with her friend on Friday. So I was with the kids. I got home from work at 4.
Mother's Day to get away from you.
And I had the kids still like,
Friday night you watch the kids?
Yes.
That's from when we went 4 shopping. On?
Wait, dude, okay, you ready? You ready?
What, let me ask you something. Do you enjoy doing this?
Yeah, if there's something. Sure. I'll tell you,
Friday night, you know what I did?
What?
I went out to dinner, and then I, like every adult does, you could get a sitter.
Every adult can do this.
Every adult. Yeah, most adults work during the week, and then when Friday hits, they think, now's the time I can spend, you know, moments with my kids, and we'll have a Friday pizza night, movie night, then we'll get up Saturday and we'll do things. And again, I'm not a mother, but I have seen mothers and what they do. Yeah, you know, the weekends are for hanging with your kids, and that's when you spend time with them.
You also have a mother.
Yes, true.
Yeah. We're raised by one.
Contrary to popular, it wasn't wolves that raised me.
Well, I mean, so like it's like his every word betrays. I wanted to get as far away from my fucking offspring as I could, and paid money to not have to spend time with them. They had housekeepers, and to the point where Ashley, I believe, has a Instagram relationship with one of them. You know, it was like the end of the Help.
Yeah. No, I've got, you know, I work in academia, so I work with people who had fairly privileged upbringings, who had these housekeepers who, when they're talking about family recipes and stuff, they're talking about the recipes from these housekeepers.
Yeah.
They're not talking about their mom in the kitchen. They're talking about the woman who's been with them since they were born, who is like a mother to them. And that's just incredible, but for Howard to make it sound like this is the norm, what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part.
The average person maybe can't get a sitter, can't afford a sitter nowadays. In the old days, sitters used to be the neighborhood kids, like the 14-year-old down there, like so-and-so's kid next door that, you know, isn't doing anything. Give them $5, let them eat whatever they want in the house, and they can watch TV, they can do whatever, as long as they're taking care of the kids, they trust them. But it's not like that anymore. 14-year-olds aren't doing that.
No, they're smarter than that. They want what minimum wage is at the very least. And then they will say, listen, I've got this training. So you're going to pay me for the training I did too. Yeah.
Oh, God.
You get a sitter and go out and relax. Go have a few drinks. Go to Scores. Or you know what? Have a sitter and go downstairs and watch some TV on your own. Have some alone time.
I did it because we're in bed by 9.
Oh my! Yeah, and what time do you go to sleep? You're exhausted.
I went to bed like midnight.
Go to a strip club.
Go to a strip club. Like you spend all week throwing bologna on women's asses, and then on Friday, why don't you unwind by going to a strip club?
Right.
Really?
So you had 3 hours.
And you paid them, I'm sure.
I did.
Wait a second. Let me understand something. You took your kids to a mall to buy Mary a gift.
Do you want to know the rundown?
Yeah.
You want to hear the rundown?
Yeah.
All right.
You had the worst situation here. Yeah.
I pulled into the driveway at 4:15 on Friday afternoon.
Which, by the way, was a late day for us.
No, that's about average.
No, but I'm saying, Friday there was a lot going on show-wise, so we had a lot to do. So he was working.
And then it's a big pain in the ass to get home on a Friday. It's already starting.
6 hours.
It's already starting now. You know, rush hour starts at like 2 now.
Right.
I got in.
How is that possible, by the way?
I don't know.
Because people knock off early on Friday and try to get out of the city.
But what are these jobs that you could leave at 2:00?
All these office jobs, they seem to have flexible hours.
Are you aware, like, we don't work in, like, a regular office.
Summer half days?
Yeah.
I know.
A lot of businesses have summer half days.
I know, on Friday. And then they all just go, you know, why even bother coming in Friday?
Right.
So they take it off.
Friday's becoming sort of a holiday, except around here.
And then, you know, those people.
It certainly did it serious right away.
And I love Robin talking about who are these people with office hours. She's not there at 4:15.
No.
She drags her butt in just before the show starts, did the show, and unless she forgot her keys and other things, like one of her 26 phones that she had, she was out the door immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't need to stick around for even later on with a wrap-up show. That was optional. Like if she wanted to stop in and blather or, you know, commiserate with the underlings. But most of the time she was gone. You're right. And during the show, how much dead air did she have where she could just, you know, play Sudoku or she could watch that blank screen for hours on end, you know, while some guest was in because she didn't have any responsibility.
Yeah, well, she was never part of the creative meetings, the brainstorming sessions. And I don't know, and maybe someone, you know, who was listening way, way back can say if they know this or not, if she ever was. It seemed like they excluded her from that right from the start. So I don't know if that's they learned a lesson and then excluded her or...
I'd say, yeah, because there's a video of it as part of Howard TV type thing when they did the Goo Goo Dolls gay dance party. And I know Benjamin included it on his brilliant, you know, truncated video of Howard getting excited over Toucan Sam, the guy with the big banana hammock G-string. Yeah. And they're doing a pitch meeting and Howard's there looking like, you know, a grunge leftover. And then you don't see Robin. You see all kinds of people, but not Robin. It makes perfect sense that they wouldn't. She might have been there in the early days, and then they probably realized, well, she has nothing to add. And, you know, she's actually just like, you know, a speed bump in this process.
Yeah, like she must have been. And it's just, it's so interesting because of how they presented it as this duo, right? Howard and Robin, and she counters and balances him and all these things. And then you find out she does nothing. She's like a sock puppet. Really, really, yeah. Literally.
You just, more or less.
Yeah. Yeah.
People who have like vacation days and they carry over to the next year. I got a friend who's got like 70 days. He's got to use like 30 of them by, you know.
All right, so explain to me what happened.
I pull in the driveway at 4:15. Mary's in the car by like 4:19. You know, she's like, you know, we talked on the phone. She's like, she's on her way out. All right, so I give the kids dinner.
It's ready. What a nightmare.
I'm just picturing these cars.
Gary pulls in
each other.
But she can't wait to get out.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Well, I love the idea. Howard goes, "What a nightmare!" Means I'm stuck with the kids. That's what he's imagining.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stuck with you. You know, Gary's stuck with his kids. How fucking the horror.
Can you imagine, though, if this would have happened to him, where he pulls up, Allison sees him, the car hasn't even pulled to a stop, she's gone, and there's no housekeepers or anything there. He probably would have called his mom or someone and dropped the, like, he wouldn't have known what to do.
None. I have a clip. I think I had it as part of an intro, but a long time ago, Robin says, you know, like, and what would happen? Were you ever left alone with the kids? And he goes, no. Can you imagine that? Like your father had to have like Boo Radley come in and, you know, assist him with the kids. Or, you know, sorry, no, Calpurnia. Sorry, I'm getting that one wrong. So it's not as if he had he wasn't the Octomom, you know, and then he had some more kids that he knew what to do with.
Yeah. Three daughters. And, you know, in his tellings of who he is, he always talks about being this creative young kid, you know, puppet shows and all these things. Well, if he loved puppet shows and all these things before, then what a beautiful time to pull that out with your kids, make puppets, hang out, make a little play. And then when mom comes home, you put on the play, everyone laughs. And these are the memories that people have. You know?
No fucking way. No.
Yeah. She wanted to beat the traffic. Hold on.
Oh, I'd help her beat it.
Oh, my goodness.
So we hang out for a little while. Then I give the kids dinner. Then Jackson...
Whoa. Stop right there. You made the kids dinner.
What are they going to do, not eat? I mean, why don't you let her in or something?
But why don't you order in or have Mary cook something before you get home?
You know what?
It's waiting for you.
The pizza, right? You just put them in a toaster oven.
Listen, I know what's going on here, but this is where I side with Howard a little bit. Mary, if she was, you know, she was there, she could easily have made something before she left.
Easily. And they could have ordered pizza, like, you know, easy sort of thing. But, you know, Howard's also saying it's 4:15. Like the kids probably got home from school. They probably had a snack. Mary probably gave them a snack before she left. And then they're probably not going to eat until 6 when they're kind of settling down. So
maybe.
But to Howard, this is like, oh, you had to feed them too?
Yeah, well, you're serious? You mean with your own hands?
Like, well,
see, I come from a little, like, when I guess dinner for a lot of people was 7 or 6,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But for when we were growing up, it was as soon as we came home from school, mom had food ready for like 5 and 4. So we all kind of ate. It was very, when we were younger, I think we all ate together. But as we got a little older, people started, you know, it might have been 2 at the dinner table. Someone else was joining. Yeah, it wasn't a concrete thing. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, when people started leaving the house, then, you know, it was a free for all. Anybody was invited. But yeah. But it wasn't cemented in like perpetuity. Like it must be 4 o'clock. But when Howard's just thinking like, oh, my God, that's more work.
Like, they can't feed themselves.
No
and
way.
Do we know how old the kids were?
They're quite young. Time? I mean, I think, okay, they got married. I think it was early 90s that he got married, like 92. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe they had kids until a couple years later. So maybe, okay, I'm going to say under 10, both of them.
Yeah, so that's it. Like, no wonder Mary was...
Wanting to eat the fuck out, peeling rubber.
That's what you ate for dinner Friday night.
No, I didn't eat that because I'm trying to lose some weight.
What did you eat?
I ended up eating sushi later on. I went and picked up sushi at the store later on.
How's that going to help you lose weight? It's all rice.
It's all right,
dude.
But it's better than what I was
eating. Sauce.
How'd you do that with the kids?
What do you mean?
How'd you pick up the sushi?
You go and you stop and you pick it up.
So you load the kids into the car and go get sushi.
No. I didn't stop at a restaurant.
Well, what did you do? Did you have to load the kids in the car?
Here, right? Okay.
So they eat. Gary went and caught some fish.
You took care of the kids for me.
Spinning reel.
Just ran his teeth through the river.
Like an entire row of bears and the salmon at the stream.
They were spawning at that time. Perfect.
The whole night?
Till Saturday afternoon.
What?
Let me give you the schedule. If you want to hear it, I'll let it rip.
Every part of it is
fascinating. Why did she justify that to you?
Why did she justify it? She wanted to go out. I said, hey, go have a nice night with your friend.
So she stayed out all night.
Yeah, she went to Long Island. She said, you know.
Jeez,
why is this such a weird thing? I had breakfast in bed on Sunday.
Why did she get breakfast in bed? You're right.
She had a great weekend.
Had a great weekend already.
She had Friday away from you, Saturday away from you.
Can I
breakfast?
So you took care of...
Wait, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so we have dinner. Then we rush over to Jackson has lacrosse clinic. That starts at 6:15.
Yeah.
So go over to that. He's doing that. Lucas is playing in the playground. We finish that. We run over to the mall. We pick up a gift.
Why do you pick up a gift?
Because it's nice.
God, I'm gonna lose my guts. Okay, so not only do you not put any effort towards your kids, you have someone else get a gift for someone if you're even thinking about them. So to him, it's not even why you go get a gift. It's why you're getting a gift, period.
Just think of what Beth goes through because he's only gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so, you know, his brain can't even figure out, you know, it's not even that he can't figure out how to get to a mall. The fact that someone would buy someone else a gift.
But this is a dad. This is a guy who's married for 20 years talking like this and divorced, but can't relate to what Gary's doing.
And what Gary's doing is just being a good husband to his partner, but also he's teaching his kids, you know, this is how we show mom respect. And, you know, this is how you be a generous, kind, good person. Like it's more about taking them through these processes of gift giving, receiving, you know, being a human.
Yeah. Just being by example. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Go to school. Let them make a gift
in
school.
They did.
That's the gift.
I wanted to
stop.
It just feels like cheapskate.
That hand-drawn turkey you'd get at Thanksgiving. There you go.
The sponge painting.
He does. He goes the extra mile.
Man, you should be furious with her.
You're super.
You spent half the weekend alone, taking care of the kids on your own, which I've never done in my life.
Wow. Like he might as well just phone his kids and say, "I despise you."
Yes,
I despise everything about you.
okay, I've known asshole parents in my life, like friends' parents that were absentee in different ways. I knew a pair that beat their kids, the mother and the father, like absolutely for no reason whatsoever, just complete shits.
Yeah.
And then I've known absentee, you know, parents that were, you know, not right quite there, not knowing what narcissism was exactly, or NPD rather, personality disorders back in the day. I've known parents that were distant and cold and aloof, and then the opposite, ones that were very involved, awesome, always there at every sporting event, helping other kids as well, treating other kids like their own. Yeah, so I've seen the spectrum, but I've never, ever seen this level of disconnect or heard this level of disconnect with a human being, with a grown person who was married and has three fucking kids.
Yeah, just spitting venom.
Yeah.
Just like the mere thought of, yeah.
Jesus.
Well, maybe you should have.
Why? Why should I? I work my ass off. I pay for everything in everyone's life. I'm the reason they can eat.
Just money. That's all I'm worth, money.
Yeah, pretty much.
But part of that, don't you understand? You spent your whole weekend babysitting.
We haven't heard what Saturday morning was like.
Yeah, that's over yet.
Did you say, like, and who says that about their kids?
It's your kid. You're not babysitting your kids. You're spending time with them. You don't babysit.
But doesn't that show, is it his stupidity or is it a disconnect? Or is it both?
I think it's both. Because you know what? And to be fair as well, people often say that about a father spending time with their kids. Oh, mom went out, so the dad is babysitting. No, he's spending it his kids. He's not.
Oh, fucking Christ. Like house sitting. Give me one sec.
So we go to the mall, then we come back and we watch America's Funniest Videos, the season finale, the $100,000 winner.
Holy crap, you don't want to be watching. Go ahead, yeah.
I actually like that show. Then they go to bed. Then I got up on Saturday morning.
What time did you get up?
I got up at about 8:30. They slept late.
By the way, did you ever hear the outtakes of the America's Funniest Home Videos announcer, Ernie Anderson?
No.
Oh, God, I have to play them. Hold on one second. Let me just get them. I know I have them. Hold on. I don't. I got a DVD, actually, a CD of them back in the day. Mm-hmm. I just have to make sure. Nick.
I like Howard, you know, the guy who lives off of The Bachelor, making fun of someone watching America's Funniest Home Videos with his kids, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, why watch anything with your kids? Okay. Yeah. Ernie Anderson. Okay, let's see.
See, already I see something wrong. AFP? What the fuck is an AFP? America's Funniest People. Something seems really dumb about this, but here we go.
Tonight on the new America's Funniest People, you'll bust a move with Tawny as Tina Turner.
That's okay up to there. Unless it popped. I don't think so, because I've been offing it. Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any fucking better.
I have a problem the way one thing is written here.
But I didn't write this shit.
I know.
Jesus Christ. Don't call me. Call whoever wrote it. Okay, let's do it. Let's stop fucking around. It ain't going to get one more fucking listener. It was going into the dumper anyway. You know. I could just smell it going into the dumper, right? Might as well do it right. It's going to be on the air. You know, it don't hurt. I'm perfectly willing to do another one. I don't give a shit. I'll say anything you want to say. I'm perfectly willing to put any fucking thing you want in there. I don't give a shit. Let's just do it. Let's just fucking do it. It ain't that hard. Why fuck with it? Just do it. I'm here to please you.
And don't you forget it.
I could use that as my ringtone.
Guys, that was, as you know, like that's from you can find that on YouTube now. I'm sure it's public domain pretty much. But at that time, I got this CD full of all like people swearing and saying all kinds of stupid shit. Like the group Venom, I told Len about this. It was a Satan metal group called Venom from Newcastle. And someone recorded their in-between song banter at one of the Headbangers balls.
There we go.
Okay.
Okay. You're fucking pretty loud, New Jersey. Yeah. Okay. We got a new one for you now. See if you've heard this one. It's a track.
Drunk.
Nightmare.
unlike the other drunk songs we wrote.
Oh, anyway, I sent that one to Len, and he fucking pissed himself. I guess his brother was a bit of a metalhead, and he sent it to him, and he couldn't believe it. It's anyway. If anybody wants it, let me know. I'll post it one day just for fucks, shits and giggles.
Okay.
Got about Thank 30. Goodness.
But you know, breakfast, and then
you made breakfast.
Yeah. Well, what are they gonna do? Not eat? But again, it's not like
it's amazing that you're sitting there doing all this.
Well, what would you suggest that they eat?
When why would you just your wife get her ass home so you can relax Saturday morning?
When do you relax? You worked all week.
I mean, what is this?
Where's your weekend?
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you where I got my time. So then Jackson's got to be at baseball at 10 o'clock.
I'm shocked.
Lucas has to be at baseball at 10:30. So I drop Jackson off at 10 o'clock, run over to Lucas's game, get back from Lucas's game to pick up Jackson. Jackson gets changed in the car because now he's got to be at lacrosse by 12:30.
And what are you doing?
Wow. I'm running
around. And you're running back and forth with your car.
Oh, yeah, I'm running
back. Don't know why you're smoking like a shit.
No, life at all.
Bowie has been on and off cigarettes his entire time. I'd say he's full-time smoker even now, though, or a vapor at least. Yeah.
Oh,
and it's all stress smoking.
Yeah. Yeah. But doesn't this sound like a normal family schedule? Like,
I mean, yeah. I mean, they, like when you have your kids involved in things, yes. If they're into rowing, or if they're into baseball, if they're into gymnastics, as Sam's daughter is.
Yeah.
And all kinds of things. Yeah, you kind of have to shuttle them from place to place, or, you know, trust someone else to do it, and vice versa. You help out one day, they carpool, that kind of thing. That works. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But I'd say Mary just decides, no, Gary will take care of it.
No, and so they got up at 8 on Saturday, which is really good, really. But his math doesn't add up with how I'm focused on the sushi.
Yeah.
How did he get the sushi? I'm
still is there a like California roll somewhere that he could stop by and like, get some?
Yeah, did he give him cough syrup?
What's it called? Giant Panda or some shit? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's your whole weekend. That was your whole weekend, dude. It's over. Now you get to work all week.
Oh, hold on. Wait. So then you drop everyone off.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you like being at work better than you do at home? Be honest. Answer that question.
Depends on what's going on at work.
Okay. Most times, are you glad you're at work rather than home?
Did I make that? I made that mistake. Not Giant Panda, Panda Express. Isn't that what it's called?
I think there isn't, but there's because weed is legal here. There's all those like panda stores that sell weed, and every time I see them, I'm like, "Oh, sushi."
Well,
it's never sushi.
Well, I mean, it's just maybe he had leftover sushi from Nobu
that he
brought with him. Who knows?
If he would have done
answer
that.
Honestly. Just answer that question.
It depends on what's going on.
Would you rather be here than at home?
It depends on what's going on at work, and also depends on what's going on at home. And sometimes there's things I want to go to that I enjoy going to.
Right. No, you can't answer.
He won't answer the question properly.
Sometimes I like being here better.
If it's a day, a chick's going to throw up on Jeff Levy. He likes work better.
There should be no day that you like being here better.
Yeah, the weekend you should be, oh, thank goodness.
How about you miss being at work this weekend?
That's not true, because if you got some guest that you really want to see or you want to hear, you would be excited to come into work, especially with where they work. Like if suddenly, I don't know, some rock person, because Gary's such a, if Springsteen showed up, he'd rather be at work than at home.
Yeah.
So
and
that's
Howard's,
not a good argument.
No, and Howard's not asking this, meaning anything other than the fact that you hate your family, right?
Right.
You know, like,
it's predicated on, you know, let's see how much you love your family, how much you really want to be around them.
Yeah.
So
you could just sit here and be on the phone and talk to your friends. And but I know this weekend when you're driving the kids around, making breakfast, your wife's not even helping you.
See, I got to tell you, I like.
Dude, let her come home Saturday, Friday night.
Do you want to hear what I have to say, or do you not care?
Go ahead.
I like going to Little League. I enjoy it. I really do.
That's not my point.
No,
you should pick and choose what you enjoy doing.
That's not how parenting works there, Howard. Sometimes you don't. Things, choices get taken out of your hand.
Just another huge reveal, which you already knew. What a horrible parent he was. No, you pick and choose. Or your kids do what they enjoy doing, and you support them in doing that.
Yeah. the other thing is, like, and I seem to forget it myself. Kindergarten is only what, until noon, I suppose. You know, if kids in junior kindergarten, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there were, you still got to go get them. Other kids are finished 3:30, something like that. Okay, 3:20, whenever we were growing up. And so, but that doesn't mean that the person may not be working. Now, Mary's not working. She is a homemaker, essentially. Yeah. So she definitely, when they're a certain age, she's got 6 hours during the day or about 5 hours during the day that she can do, get stuff done for certain. And I'm sure she is doing some of that at the house.
Yeah.
And she would be the first to tell Gary, no, I'm the one dressing them, taking them into school, you know, driving them to school, making their breakfast, and then making them a lunch for them to take to school, all that stuff, cleaning up at the house. That is work. Howard doesn't consider that work. And we know that, like, he's always betrayed himself as that kind of 79 that way.
Well, he said that in interviews and said it to other people, too, that's not work. And, you know, it doesn't count. When he was talking about his divorce from Allison.
Oh, yeah.
When he broke it down. Well, she didn't work for all those years. So why is she taking my money? Yep. Well, she did. If you want to run her salary for when she took care of your kids and the household, even with helpers, she should have pulled in a decent wage from him.
And I bet you the helpers were less about the kids than just because of the size of the house, cleaning, extra cleaning, like vacuuming, more dusting, changing the sheets and stuff. And for three kids, that's a lot of work. And unless you teach your kids clean your fucking room, which I know she probably didn't do.
And babysitting Howard. Like, you know that these cleaners were there because of his weird neuroses that he was running with at that moment.
Absolutely. And if you can't count on a parent, your spouse, then you do need that fucking help. Yeah. And that's why they were there, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time that she saunter in on Saturday.
Because she had four kids. She had an extra kid she didn't realize. About
one. And now what does she do when she gets home? Do you say, all right, now it's my turn to have a good time?
She met me at lacrosse, and then I said, I'm going to go out and do some stuff. So I went out for a couple of hours.
What'd you do?
I picked up her Mother's Day present.
See? I know.
A little U-time. And then I stopped at Harvey Electronics. I was looking for some new stereo equipment.
Wow. Stereo Gary.
Wow, what a nightmare you're in.
Oh, Mr. Big Shot's out looking for stereo equipment.
So the Sunday morning, you cook a breakfast.
So the Saturday night, we went out to dinner. We got a babysitter. We went out to dinner with some friends.
Wow. Mary gets to go out again. That's when you get the babysitter, when Mary comes home, I see.
Right. I mean, listen, I could have got a babysitter for Friday if I wanted to.
So you got up early for Saturday and Sunday morning?
Yes, I did.
So Sunday morning, you got up nice and early.
What a shock.
So 8 o'clock in the morning is really early. Really early.
Fucking hell. I mean, like, granted, I'm not the person to talk to. Like, I get up for work during the week and if whatever time I have to. However, during the weekend, I'm like you, I'm a night owl. So if I have to sleep if I wake up at 11 after staying up watching whatever, I don't give a fuck because that's my weekend.
Yeah. And 10 o'clock, like if I'm left to my own devices, 10 o'clock is my natural wake up time. Mm-hmm. And people, you're going to grow out of that. Well, they haven't yet, you know?
No. Jay and I can't remember. It might have been Wayne. We talked about it. And we definitely, with Wayne, we talked about it. We get way more work done waking up later and working later. Where, you know, you're forcing people to get up in the morning, not forcing, but if you're forced to, and it's not your system, you can't really change your body to be more efficient in the morning as a result. There's just, I've not found a way.
No, some people are naturally, and instead of working that into the system, we've created this ridiculous system of you're at work at 8, you leave at 5, and it's like, well, can't we just trade off and you know, I'll work nights, you do. Yeah.
Oh, I loved working nights. Anytime I could get like a 1-9 shift, I was happier than a pig in shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I could go without dinner, actually. That's how productive I could be. I could just get a snack or something, snack throughout, you know, during the break time and forego dinner if it was really busy. No worries. And also pick up an hour of overtime.
And so, grab some sushi, too.
You got it. Yeah.
Early. Wasn't that early? While Mary slept.
And breakfast in bed was a bagel and a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Dude,
and then
so
what
pussy
did you do the rest of Sunday? You didn't have any child duties?
You didn't have any chores on Sunday?
No, she went to church, hung around, came back, hung around. I went out, looked at some more stereo equipment at a different place. Yeah. Came back and we went to the movies and we went to dinner. We went out to dinner.
Okay. Nice weekend.
Yeah, she's been out to dinner the whole weekend.
You know, yeah, she didn't cook.
She went out Friday
night, Saturday night, and Sunday night.
You know, I got to tell you, somebody, you know what?
And she couldn't make dinner Friday night before she left.
You know, somebody said to me about you guys.
Wow.
They said, you know.
Dude, you think the same thing.
With the exception of Fred.
Yeah.
I work with probably some of the worst boyfriends and husbands in the history of the world.
It's true.
Gary speaking and you know, the truth.
And you know who the somebody was? Mary.
Yeah.
You know, this would like Gary, cryptic Gary going, someone, you know, I heard from someone, you know, it's the wives, Jackie probably said the same shit.
Yeah. And just, you know, the venom in Howard's voice, though, just absolute disgust. And his thinking is, well, she didn't cook the dinner Friday. She didn't do this. So you're rewarding her going out Saturday, like as though she should be punished.
Yeah.
No.
Of course. But that's how he sees everything. And it's a microcosm of everything, including the work environment as well. Yeah. All those guys, remember, like ages ago, like when they had the Friends of the Howard Stern show and they wanted to go out on a Friday and they left on a slightly earlier plane than they needed to, whatever. Yeah. He wasn't there. It didn't matter. It was after work anyway. Yeah. But he decided, you can't be doing that, whatever. He found out about it. It wasn't even that they went. It was that he found out about it that they went. And he didn't want them getting ahead. Yeah. You know, why should they enjoy their life? Why should they make extra money and benefit from being on the show? Anybody who benefits from the show, anybody who benefits from him personally, whether it's him making money for people, him supporting the kids, whatever, he's resentful of it. He doesn't want, you know, he resents them while they're there, whether they're not there. It doesn't matter. It's like Johnny Carson when reading the biography of him. Waiting for praise from him, like it didn't matter what good a job you did, you never got praised anyway.
It's like reading a narcissist Bible.
Yes. it's excruciating.
It is. They're horrible. I don't even want to call them humans, but they're horrible people to be around. And this is just, you know, again, once you see it, you're just thinking like poor Allison, you can imagine her going out to get her nails done. And then for him, the rest of it is punishment to balance things, right? Because she's got a win in his book. Yeah. So now he needs to bring her down to where he's winning again.
Mm-hmm. And by the time she started gray rocking him, which is, you know, the last 2 years of the divorce, last 2 years before the divorce, I'm certain she had his number like straight up. And he had to maintain it because I'm sure Ivan Reitman told, I think he did admit to Ivan that Ivan Reitman told him, you cannot get divorced until after this movie, you know, because it will tank this movie. It's based on you being a loving husband, obviously, but, and a faithful husband and all that shit. But she would have had 2 years of going like, no, I'm doing what I want. This is how it's going to go. And I've known you've done it. Like if she knows he's done X, Y, and Z and been, you know, unfaithful, she could have, she would have his nuts. She would have him by the ball sack the entire time.
Oh, big time. And that must have just been grating him even more. But you could hear on the, you know, rarer occasions when she would actually be on air.
Oh, yeah.
She was not hiding things.
No, not anymore. Thank God we covered that one with Bob, the narcissism episodes. They were great. They were really, really illuminating.
Jimmy, you call Beth and ask her if she's not having a good time with me.
Yeah, call Susan.
And I tell you what, call Allison, who I was married to for 20 years.
Yeah,
and
call
I guarantee
her.
You, she will tell you she had a good life. She never cooked a meal.
A good life or a good time?
She had a good life. She never cooked a meal. Granted, our marriage was troubled, but she never had to cook a meal.
Just that
was
tiny
good.
She never had to cook a meal. So they had people cooking for them, which if they had that kind of money, yes, I guess it's fine. But that's a little, I find that a little odd.
I can't see that. I mean, I don't know her, but she just seems like the type of person, especially when they were younger, where she would have been making meals for the kids, for Howard. Yeah. So why would she suddenly stop?
Yeah, just because they got money?
Yeah.
I suppose it's possible. I guess it's in the realm of possibility. Mm-hmm. But I think he's thinking about, what they got, not what they started with, and what she was doing during the lean time. Lean, when I say leaner, I mean the guy was making 400, six figures at NBC, WNBC.
And his mom and dad set them up
well
also. And I don't know if her family contributed to that as well, but yeah.
I'd say so.
Wow.
I mean, you know, hey, she didn't have to do it. I don't know. If she's going around badmouthing me, that would be a shock to me because I don't know that she had to do anything.
Let's be honest about something. Yeah. Seriously. It was never an issue between you and Allison that you were in the basement in the office working a lot.
No. That was never. That was not allowed to be.
That was not an issue.
I would have gone insane. If I had come home, I was with my kids and stuff, but on my terms.
I love that drop. preceding that, he said, I would not allow it to be.
It was not allowed to be. So she obviously did, and he would have just
shouted her down, whined about something, made it about something, obfuscated, talked, changed the subject, anything to get away from that.
Yeah. Well, and anyone who's dealt with a narcissist in their life knows the narcissistic rage is something that's pretty spectacular. So he would have made it not allowed in that way, too.
Have you ever seen that? It's awful. It's actually really, really awful to listen to. But there's the kid that recorded his narcissist father and the father's mother. So his grandmother arguing about something like he had pictures of the father on his computer or he was filming him on his he was recording him and he wanted it deleted off the phone and he kept going on and he was going to his mother like the father was going to his mother saying, Mom, can you tell him, can you just tell him, like, honestly, what are you doing? It's so disturbing. It's 20 minutes of the most mind-bending narcissistic display you could ever imagine. And I'm so grateful the kid put it up there, but he clearly had to gray rock his own mother, his own father, and his grandmother.
Wow. Yeah. And they do come from places, you know, they don't just spawn on their own. So there's usually a family member that has molded them into the beast that they become. But
you could hear it from the mother, like, what are you doing? Leave your father alone. Do what your father says, that kind of shit. And it's disturbing to listen to on a psychological level, but I am glad it exists out there in the ether for people to see what it's like. It's a slice of life, unfortunately. And I can only imagine what it was like for Allison beyond what we hear.
And the kids, can you imagine? Oh, Dad, you're home on my terms.
On my terms, completely.
Yeah,
I wasn't sitting there doing baths and running around chasing them.
And that was ever an issue for you guys?
Never.
You know what, Howard?
It couldn't be. I would have gone through the roof. I worked my ass off to support her.
You're not addressing it correctly. You're saying that you wouldn't let it be.
That's right.
I'm asking you, in her mind, it didn't bother
her? That's her mind. I didn't worry about it.
I think we figured out what happened.
I can barely keep my mind functioning. Why would I worry about her mind?
Yeah. No kidding. Fucking hell.
I'm worried about my mind.
It could have been an issue for her.
Yeah, it wasn't going to be an issue for me. I was working my ass off.
What I'm saying is,
on my free time, I was writing books. I was busy writing radio shows. I was busy.
Okay, Norman,
writing with his big oversized post-it notes fonts on his wall.
I thought you meant the Miss America fonts. The private parts, the first book, I remember specifically reading it, and it read like a collection of, do you know how sometimes people have done articles for various periodicals and they decide we're going to make a compilation, like we're going to put all those together in a volume. Like there's a great Woody Allen one that's fantastic. All the short stories he put together was the Klugel Mass episode. I love that one. There's all kinds of. It just felt diffuse. It didn't feel like he was going step by step writing his life. Mm-hmm. And clearly a lot of it was, and you know, transcripts. Someone took the audio from the show, transcripted it, and threw it in, no different than later on with the Howard Stern Comes Again. So that wasn't that much of an effort.
And do you honestly believe, or does anyone believe, that he would have the focus to sit down and start a book right from page one and work his way through. So it makes sense that, yeah, he would audio record with someone. They might ask him a question. He'd do the story. They would type it up for him, hand it to him, and he'd go, yep.
Yep.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Chapter one.
Yep. She couldn't recognize my contribution. But it would have been a big problem.
What I'm saying is the fact that you were too busy for the kids and other things was not...
I wasn't too busy for the kids. I spend lots of time with my kids. But when I needed to.
I mean, that's when you wanted to.
And what happened?
When you wanted to.
When I needed to. Because that's the way kids work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Fucking fourth child. What a fucking baby.
I'm hungry, Dad.
Well, our relationship as a couple fizzled.
Where did that come from?
Yeah. Happened from like it's just like the same. You've gone out with guys that like the boyfriend before Mr. X, where things for some reason go sour.
Yeah, it's because you're not there.
Right.
No. I was there.
I was there. Yeah. No, you're wrong. I'm right.
I was there with tissues stuffed in the keyhole and.
Yeah. listening to fucking Pretty Hate Machine. Yeah.
Yeah. Gay bullshit. Porn with Ralph. But other than that, I was totally there.
Completely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so fine.
In the house, you weren't there.
But still, I was not going to sit there.
No, I got what you
were
going to
tell me. You think your marriage is going to stay together because on Friday night you're babysitting? Why can't somebody else babysit?
Somebody could have. I could have easily called a baby.
Your wife can't make a goddamn dinner for you? She's home all day doing what? Oh. What did she do all Friday before you got home?
I don't know, but it's the...
Your kids are in school. Make a goddamn dinner. What does she do?
I mean, if you are going to take care of the kids, it should be kind of easy. Like, you shouldn't have to do...
It was easy.
Know, figure out how they're going to eat.
Let me tell you something.
Their dinner is there.
Them eating pizza was as easy as me heating up whatever she would have made.
And a mother's... Mm-hmm. But why should the kids eat heated pizza? That's such crap for kids.
That's what they eat.
Oh, now all of a sudden the concerned dad, the nutritionist, is going to comment on that.
And it's Friday. He's got the kids. You throw crap pizzas in a toaster oven. You guys sit around and you enjoy your time together. Otherwise, don't have kids. Like, it's really simple. The math is simple. You
know? Big time, yeah.
Tell her to make a nice goddamn meal.
She makes a nice goddamn meal like six nights a week.
Yeah, I don't hear a lot of that.
Oh, come on.
I don't hear you telling me that.
You want me to come
I hear a lot of heated meals. Give me the menu from for this week.
I will tell you the menu.
All right.
She made some great meals this week. She made something with fish. I don't know. You roll it up.
Good. That's what she should do.
She did.
Or get a job. Contribute.
She made fish rolls.
This is where Howard goes in. Always fucks up. Get a job. If she got a job, she'd be out of the house. She couldn't take care of the kids when she needed to, and things wouldn't get done. Number one. Yeah. Number two, if in Howard's life, if the person gets a job, they're gaining autonomy and he's losing control.
Yep.
So that would never, ever be a solution in his mind. So he's full of shit.
No, and he was against whenever, you know, the wives eventually, when the kids start to get older, do branch out, try and have jobs, do different things. And he mocked them endlessly for it.
Yep. Yep.
Instead of supporting them and saying, oh, it's good that they're out of the house. Well, she's going to be a realtor, you know, or an actor. Or he just made constant fun of them.
Let's be honest. If Emily Stern wasn't his kid, would he not be the first person to mock that fucking Kabbalah play footage?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just as bits someone decided to throw in there. Or that CD of hers, Birthday.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the Zuzazu and all that shit. He'd be the first one mocking it like he mocks Yoko Ono, like he mocks, you know, Katie Lee Joel. Like he would have if he didn't want to hobnob with the Hamptons crowd.
Yeah, like if that was Lucas.
Yeah.
That video popped up on Howard's desk somehow, he would have...
Yeah.
Called Gary in and he would have made fun of him and why weren't you a better parent?
If it was Lucas Bon Jovi back in the day.
Yeah.
Because the story was, and I shouldn't put this out there, but it was back when we were at the old place. Someone posted, and it might be bullshit, that one of Gary's kids had to go to rehab, had a serious alcohol problem, which, to be honest, wouldn't surprise me if Gary has all kinds of issues, but also if the kid's gone to university and hasn't learned how to drink properly because, you know, loads of kids – unfortunately have had to, if they're lucky enough to get help before it becomes a major problem later on, then that's great. I have no problem with that. And I think it's a commendable, but that would be something Howard would absolutely mock.
Yeah. And, you know, it's common for kids in Canada and the U.S. who are brought up where you don't drink till you're 19 or 21 to not learn the appropriate socialization of including drink with your meal, sipping, doing, you know, it just becomes binge or nothing. And yeah. Is Lucas the one who was the DJ?
Yeah, Lucas was the DJ. Yeah. Jackson was, I don't know what the hell. He actually kept kind of a more of a lower profile yeah. between the kids, but the Lucas was the one that they tried to crowbar onto the Jimmy Kimmel show yeah. and Gary was trying to network and stuff. And look, in the business, that's exactly what people do.
Mm-hmm. And why yeah. not? Everyone's connected. I mean, Lenny Kravitz didn't do this all on his own.
Just make sure the armorer of your film isn't a Nepo hire. Oh, my God. Because you were mentioning about the Alec Baldwin interview, the court TV thing.
The interrogation. It is beyond. It is like he's reading off a script. Yes. I mean, we can talk about this in another video if you want. Yeah. But yeah, just the way he acts. And then he turns on him and he's flirting with them when he's saying, you know, I asked them for the biggest gun. And right. he does this nod thing. I'm like, oh, I would have been skeeved out, like left the room.
It was creepy. It was creepy in that way. Yeah. And also, but when he finds that, when they tell him that Helena Hutchins is actually dead from the injury and he has this reaction, but you can tell in the reaction, it's nothing about her. Mm-mm. It's all about what am I going to do now yeah. about myself?
Yeah.
And these two narcissists like him and that fucking Hilaria. Oh my God. Like Sam, I told Sam ages ago, we said, look, we're going to have to delve into something else because not the Stern well is dry. We're still going to do that. Mm-hmm. But if we can somehow branch off and do that stuff, I could easily do a full Hilaria Alec Baldwin podcast yeah. and have ammo for days. Pardon the expression. Oh.
We need a little drum roll person in behind.
Right.
I love that. Oh, man. God damn. That comes from Friday night.
Yeah, the Friday night thing is, you know, because that's, you know,
but how
the
often
end
is
of
that?
Your week, you should be able to kick back at least Friday night.
You should put your feet up and watch some TV. What'd you do Friday night, John?
Friday night I went out to dinner with my wife. Huh. And I have a nanny to at night to they'll sleep so in case.
Yeah, but you didn't rush home, so you.
No,
could.
But you know the difference.
Saturday
is
morning, you slept late. I bet.
Yeah, of course. I spend plenty of time with the kids, and I do it because I enjoy it. But
right.
But if I said to my wife, listen, I need some time, she'll do it in a second because she knows
it'll
work.
Wait a second. What? You wouldn't even bother saying you need some time. You would just take some goddamn time.
Yeah, I would say, all right, listen, I gotta jog.
Right. Later.
I'll see you later.
I'm leaving. Gary, did you get any exercise this weekend?
No.
Your boys did. The kids got plenty. Wait, you're not entitled to a life?
Did he cook? Did he clean?
That's right. That's exercise. Dude, you got it set up all wrong. Dude, you come home. She said, "Where are you? This is what you said." She was
saying, "This is what
you get in the driveway."
Oh, Gary,
BS, Gary, stop the fence. You should have pulled in that driveway and said, "Excuse me, I would have taken the distributor cap off the goddamn car that she was supposed to take."
You wouldn't know where that was, asshole.
Howard the mechanic, no.
Yeah, all of a sudden. God. Well, guys, we're gonna have to stop it right there. We hope you've enjoyed this episode because I know there's a lot more audio. We'll be able to give it more focus in the next time when we finish the second part of this. But we hope you've enjoyed it. Have you had fun with this?
This has been a lot of fun. Yes, my brain will be screaming all night though. And I am. I'm going to get a foam baseball bat so I can just hit myself over the head as we work through this. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, my God, guys, thank you so much. We love you. Take care from both of us.
Take care.
If you went through the most incredible metamorphosis and somehow transformed yourself into the best person you're capable of being.
Yeah.
And you and Lisa G, after that metamorphosis took place, were on the top floor of a burning building. And it's just you two. And God told Lisa, I will give you the ability to fly if you kiss John the Stutterer. She would say no.
I know. Well,